So last we left you guys had gathered around Carter's old computer and it spat out an amalgamation of audio, if you will, something the likes of which you've never heard before. And right after it was done, the laptop fizzled, snapped, cracked, and burnt out.
Popped. Scary times. Scary things.
What? Says, I've never heard anything quite like that in my entire life.
What the hell was that?
I have no idea.
That was insane.
I'm gonna have nightmares.
What is an iTunes review?
I have no idea. Sounds important, though.
Oh, that's amazing.
Gold.
All right, all right, all right. Let's move
on. Solid gold.
So last time, a lot of other things also happened. Sebastian, for example, betrayed the Iron Legion. That was a big deal.
He then had
a very genocidal nightmare or dream. I'm not sure how he feels about it. Watt got really sciency and kind of broke down everything you all have discovered over the last like 5 or 6 arcs. Percy, you had a new vision, and in it you saw this city beyond the stars that seemed to be protecting the galaxy. It wasn't entirely clear. It was a very cryptic dream, but the galactic spirit's kind of like that. Echo has officially joined the club, so much so that he called his parents to tell them about it. And and then you guys are headed to the Shardlar.
Sweet. Do I have my seatbelt on?
Yeah, sure. So the party finds themselves traveling through hyperspace. So you guys are headed towards Shardlar. The planet is known to be located in pretty deep in Cyber Federation territory. So the Aegis, that experimental invisibility psychic shielding thing, is expected to be used. Mm-hmm. And what you know about Shardlar is that it is a sub-Arctic planet with a yellow sun. It's relatively small and covered in icy oceans, vast tundras, and boreal forests. Despite the hostile climate, the planet does support life and has breathable air. There are no public known settlements on the planet. And the only inhabited location on record is a meteorological station in the northern hemisphere. So
okay,
yeah,
is that where we want to go? Is that the habitable zone?
I don't. Well, I mean, the whole planet's technically habitable. It's just, you know, it's like Siberia. So
okay,
you guys are on your way, and you end up pulling out of hyperspace. Victoria says, okay, 3 more jumps until we are within fuel range. What's the ETA on the Aether Core cooldown, Watt? And Watt says, we're looking at a 2-hour tempering cycle, Captain. Very well. Engage the Aegis, just in case our Aether spike attracts any unwanted attention. Aegis is engaging. Victoria then leans back in her chair, kicks up her feet on the console, turns on some postmodern electronic music, and appears to take a nap. What do you guys do? You guys are going to be here for a couple hours.
This song is very old. I go.
I have that new shit. Hold on.
Exactly. That was precisely it. So thank you. I do it from my bracer jack without.
Oh, you actually do?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys want to hear the new bop?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Because Echo knows
okay.
it, whatever it may be.
Yeah, sure.
I can pull up something. Well, you guys go ahead and talk about stuff.
So are we going to just kick it here, or are we going to go down to Shardlar in the fucking Sparrow? What's your fucking...
The Starling.
Starling, there it is.
Sparrow.
I knew it was a bird.
Watt says, we're still about 3 jumps away, so... Unfortunately, the Aethers need to cool. We've taken too many jumps to risk a core meltdown. So we'll be here for a couple hours, but...
Cool.
Why don't you allow the dulcet tones of Jeff Cale to soothe you?
Sure.
This one's called That Day. And if you guys want to hear it, it's on Echo's playlist. Jump into our Discord, and I got a Spotify playlist with that song I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Updating this thing all the time. Hit the shuffle.
So what do you guys want to do with the couple hours you got of free time?
Chill and listen to music.
Should we speak? Did we tell everybody about all of our individual interlude shit.
You told us, and
I told you guys about the city.
Sebastian not necessarily reveal his dream.
Yep. Oh, what about the Iron Legion?
Yeah, I don't know if I. Legion. Yeah, so I gotta bring that up.
I was just curious.
You know,
it seemed like something.
It might not be a bad idea to talk about it. Yeah, this one might be a good one.
So I think as everybody's kind of just chilling to their music. Guys, ladies,
what's
that? Something happened.
Victoria shuts the music off.
I think I'm probably going to be shunned by the Iron Legion now, just to let you know. Might be an issue. Shit. Just giving you a heads up.
Is it because you signed a very thorough contract with the Devil Man?
You could say that, yeah. They weren't too happy about it. So I don't know the results yet, but I have a feeling it's not good.
Have we added another galactic entity to our shit list?
Yes.
Or have they added us to their shit
list? I'll take the blame for
this one. Thing? Are they going to come seek you?
I hope not. I think that they realize that they have other bigger fish to fry.
You have to take off like your jersey or what, and burn your genius or whatever. Like,
is there a court martial?
Yeah, are you going to get like a cease and desist email?
I don't, maybe.
Are we even bigger fugitives?
Primina just says, we're really terrible at making friends, aren't we, guys?
Outside of our little group here, I think that's about it, yeah.
Victoria just says, fuck it, who needs friends anyways?
A few good ones is nice, but yes, I think I'm also bad at it. I'm very out of practice. You guys are cool, though. Yeah. Anyway, listen, there's something I've been meaning to bring up. The contracts we signed, I'm not usually one to skip out on taking the kill, you know, I try not to do things unnecessarily, and especially now I think I might want to tread a little bit lighter in terms of like putting someone down because their soul will be sent to hell.
Well, no, that's just for him. That's just for Sebastian.
What is my contract?
No. Your guys' contracts is that you just owe a favor when called upon.
Instead of
any time. Sebastian owes the favor and the rest of his fucking eternity, but that's another.
And we know that, right?
Yes.
Because we were there when he got signed on.
Yes, you know,
that. So then take what I just said and, like, hey, big guy, I kind of want to know your plans a little bit and how you feel about the whole souls going to hell thing. You know, where are you on the. You know, what are you with that one?
I'm okay with that. If you don't want to take someone down, I'll take them down. I'll send them to hell.
I mean, he just signed the contract because he wanted to. So,
I mean, I can see you wanting to, like, if we fight a big monster and its soul goes to hell or whatever, no big, you know, the big monsters I've seen lately were already in hell, so I don't know how that works, but. True. I just like to be mindful that you're sending someone to go hang out with Elot the Ball.
That dude sucks.
I just sort of want to bring it up. You're your own man, and finding out that I'm not involved is good. And that thing. So I feel better about that. I thought I was sending all kills from now.
That's all on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Yes. I got you. I just want to. If you're good with that, you know, like to each his own, I suppose. You know.
So should we have like a. You know, this person's a real shitbag and close to death. So it's like, let's just let Seb kill him, send the soul to hell. But if they're like kind of cool, we'll give like pause. We'll be like, maybe let's not have Sebastian kill this person right now. Maybe you or I can do it and they can rejoin the galaxy
that I have accidentally like introduced this moral quandary to your
you
guys.
Have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
How about this one? If I am about to die and my soul is going to get ripped out and sent to etc., you can just send me to hell and I'll go fuck with evil Lot Ball.
Because you got a homie?
At least you guys do have an in a way.
At least you know somebody?
And then I'll be nearby for my favor. You'll have to break me out for me to do it.
Okay, so it's at this point that a flash from outside the cockpit window catches all your eyes.
Oh, my eyes!
I didn't blind you guys, but it...
Oh, never mind, I'm okay.
Thought
the worst.
Outside, you guys see a small Cyber Federation vessel. It is sleek, and it has a cross-like body, and it appears to be a scouting vessel, and it sits there about a few kilometers out from the Brunhilde, and it is still and nothing happens. Mm. Victoria sits up in her seat, and she whispers, "Be ready, everybody."
Do we know who that is, Vicky?
It looks like a Cyber Federation vessel. They shouldn't know we're here. The Aegis is on, but...
Mm. Oh, damn. It's like when we're hiding in the woods and, like, the bad guy, like, walks by or whatever. And we're oh, shit.
Yeah.
Everybody, T-Rex. T-Rex.
T-Rex. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Oh, the T-Rex is solid. It works a lot.
It does.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, are we actually invisible?
Yes.
Or can they just like look out
the window? You are also actually invisible.
Okay.
You're literally invisible. Better. You can't be detected by radar or by psionics, theoretically.
Okay. I'm staring at my character sheet like, how do I do magic? And I'm like, oh, I have a book. I have a different book for that.
Are we just going to let these guys pass?
Victoria says, I'm not going to engage unless we have to.
I'll roll for stealth.
Moments later, there's now a series of blinding flashes outside the Brunhilde.
Not my eyes.
As many small and one quite immense ships arrive, an entire Cyber Federation armada jumps into the area.
Ooh.
Now, most of the ships are small to medium fighter ships with a few large battleships scattered amongst them, but they are all surrounding one enormous transport vessel. The transport vessel is a massive hulking craft of steel and lights, and behind it, it seems to be hauling something almost as large as itself. As you guys get a closer inspection at it, you realize that it is a pulsar dragon, bound in massive energy bonds in an almost fetal position and surrounded by a force field.
Oh, no.
What the hell?
Based off of the lack of interaction and the movements of the vessels, it seems the armada does not detect you guys.
That's nice. I'm going to go ahead and take some data, I guess. Can I take some photos with my jack?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Getting them.
Yeah. You can give video footage, too, if you want.
Yeah, I'll take a video.
So this is odd behavior, though, right? Like, the Cyber Federation is basically stealing... kidnapping a pulsar dragon.
You guys know that the Cyber Federation and the elves are close allies. And yes, so they're
that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, they're fighting against everyone together. The Cyber Federation, you can essentially equate them to the dwarves. It's more complicated than that, but they're essentially the dwarven nation. And of course the Empire is the elven nation. And yeah, it appears they've captured a pulsar dragon and they're transporting it somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Percy is like at the window just like, I don't like this.
So they're going to... It looks like they're trying to get data to increase their ship's power, yes? Something like that? Use the... Because the Pulsar Dragons, they're known for like their big engine, pretty much. Their complicated engine, yeah. Like how Sebastian was...
Yeah, and Echo wasn't there, but you guys remember the whole...
And that's what we found in the Aegris
Dragon
labs,
skeleton,
right?
Yeah. And there was like prototype engine stuff being built. It's there too, as well.
Yeah.
On Manticore, so... Mm-hmm. Anyways, Victoria says, there's nothing we can do. We just need to sit tight. Hopefully they move on.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm going to... do you guys think I can post this, or...
Hashtag.
Probably not Victoria this time, says, huh? Maybe wait at least a day.
Yeah. If I edit it, maybe. Yeah, I'll wait. You're
okay,
right.
Okay, cool.
A little doctoring.
Within 10 to 15 minutes... the armada jumps again, leaving you guys alone in space.
Echo wipes his brow dramatically.
Phew!
Anything you guys want
to... Vicky, is there any way to tell where they may have jumped to? Is there any way? No.
She looks at Watt. Watt does some tapping into his computer. And he says, honestly, it's hard to say. From where we're located, it's... plausible they're taking a path to either Mechanish or maybe even into Elven territory towards Arvandor, but
okay.
It's impossible to say. Aether Corps should be ready in about 45 minutes.
Okay.
Is there anything you guys want to do before moving on?
Is there anything we can do about that? Can we let the Cyber Federation know that one of their Pulsar Dragons is gone?
Oh, you mean the Draconic Star Sovereignty?
Yes, yes.
Yes. You is can, but if you do
I don't
that,
want to send messages you'll, to like, you will, strangers.
Yeah, you'll let people know your location, that's for sure. But yeah, you could tell people. I mean, how Sebastian could tell the Iron Legion.
Why don't you write it in a little bottle and then put it in the...
Like, throw it out the door.
On a paper, put the paper in the bottle and then, yeah, throw it out the lock. And then maybe they'll find it.
That will do nothing. I don't... She's at like the window still, just kind of looking out for the rest of the 45.
Was it dead?
It looked like it was either dead or comatose. It impossible to tell. It was definitely completely neutralized, though. It was almost in a fetal position.
Do we have life scanners on the ship? Is that a thing that Brunhilde is equipped with?
I think we established some to a certain degree.
I don't think it's wise to, like, if we're just chilling there waiting for stuff to chill out, like, I'm not going to risk turning on a sensor.
Yeah, definitely not, no.
This jogs my memory, though. Did I ever tell Watt about all the stuff we found in the Egress Laboratory, about the propulsion system?
Yeah, I imagine. It would be weird if you didn't. Yeah. So I think everybody is pretty much up to snuff on everything.
Cool.
I'm not sure if he mentioned it in his monologue last episode, but it's definitely...
working on it.
He knows
using
about it.
Cool.
All right, guys. So 45 minutes pass. You guys make the jump. You're a few hours out from Shardlar, and we're going to fast forward. You guys arrive above the Arctic planet, and you are looking down at this white and blue sphere beneath you. And Victoria says, "Any ideas on how to begin our search? We have next to no information on where Zahn's location is. He just told us that he told Prim to meet him here in the place of her childhood." And Prim just kind of shrugs and go, I was a child. I don't remember any type of location. I have nothing.
Does anybody have brain magic? You know?
I mean, I guess I'll let you roll an intelligence check, I suppose.
Well, like, the regular intelligence of Brian says that, like, we should look for structures above ground.
Mm-hmm. Or even energy signals. Like
Does Echo say that? What does Echo say?
Yeah, Echo says, "What's up, dog? It's me, Echo, here to tell you about the thing." Now, hey, maybe there's a structure we can look for.
What says?
It's a snowy planet, right? There might be something odd protrusions. That's a really hard word to say.
Yeah.
Especially with that accent, man. Mm-hmm.
My God. something like a mound.
Or even some energy signal.
Watt first replies to you, Echo, and he says, "We could look for the meteorological station. I don't know if it's currently manned, but it's the only structure we know about in any official records. But as we get closer to the planet, I can do some scans for energy signatures, but there's no guarantee anything comes up."
I maybe have something. I can cast 6-level spells now. I have... I have a spell called Find the Path.
Ooh, what does that do?
It sounds like it is exactly what we need.
I think that sounds fantastic.
Read this spell.
So, duration up to 1 day. The spell allows you to find the shortest, most direct physical route to a specific fixed location if you are familiar with, on the same plane of existence. So, I mean, we are familiar with the fact that it's Zahn's lab, but we have never been there. So that's why I was like, I don't know.
I don't think it'll work.
Yeah,
but I don't think I should let it work.
No, that's fair. That's very fair, because we're not familiar with it.
Yeah.
Would it work to maybe find Prim's, like, hometown? If she's familiar with it?
Yeah, what is the parameter
of
the spell?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like,
Prim
does
is
it affect
familiar.
Self, or does it affect, like, who's the target?
It says range self.
Yeah, then no. Prim can't, like, you can't, like, filter it through Primina.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that makes sense. I just...
That would
if anyone's
be cool.
got... If you got Zone of Truth, we can just, like, Zone of Truth as Prim and ask her.
Truth's going to be, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm just fucking around. I don't have... I don't have good magic for, like, this type of scale, you know? Like, I've got, like...
That was my best.
I got, like, locate objects, you know? I'm trying to think. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got suggestion. I could suggest that Prim tell us what she knows deep down.
That's not,
Yeah, like, that's all I got.
I want to re-listen to the music box, see if there's any, like, maybe hidden message in there. Or, I know he says, like, I mean, you don't have to read it out loud.
I think I got the book somewhere. I can actually go find what it was and reread it.
Yeah,
I got the wiki. Shout out to Mariko.
Yeah. Actually, Mariko put it on the wiki. I can do that.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious if there's like a hidden message, or if we listen to it, if Prim listens to it again, if it like maybe jogs her memory a little bit more, like, oh wait, I'm kind of remembering this area.
I'm thinking since it wasn't prepped,
I'm
metagaming right now, but
no, but I am down to reread it, so we're gonna reread it. Just give me a minute here while I pull it up.
Yeah, I think that's a good use of our time here. Yeah.
Damn,
the internet doesn't want to work for me. Oh no,
man, I think we just got to get down there.
I think so.
Yeah.
I can try to help us once we're down there.
Yeah, I can do a couple of things, but, you know, it's based off of, like, you know, I do thief magic.
Okay, you guys ready? So, here it is. This is what the music box says. Primina, my dear, if you're hearing this, it means that you have made it back alive. With any luck, it will be with a member of the Ninth Bloodline by your side. Let me start off this message with an apology. I'm so sorry. Sorry for putting you through so much pain. Sorry for bringing you into a world that would swallow you up and use you against your nature and your will. But if it's any consolation, it would seem we were all but pawns in a game 100,000 years in the playing by powers beyond our fathoming. There is so much I must tell you, but so little I can say in this message. Remember the bedtime story I told you as a child. It is the thing around which all you've endured centered. The kings and queens of an ancient world who locked away their treasure, not monarchs but gods, the old gods, and not treasure but a city, the city of Los Kadath. It is there they hid their power, a power the Emperor seeks. But the Emperor has gone mad. He'd wield this power to save the galaxy, but in doing so he would spell the doom of us all. I found more to the story. Secret elven histories, ancient orc writings, something else seeks the city of Los Kadath. One of the old gods sealed outside, a being whose knowledge was lost to time, or perhaps was never known at all. For knowledge of the thing begets madness. Even I fear to utter its name. But the Emperor knows. He's always known. And though he's prepared and warded for 80,000 years, the knowledge leaves a door open for whispers. And even one so close to godhood is not impervious. For outside the ordered universe is that amorphous blight of nethermost confusion, which blasphemes and bubbles at the center of all infinity. The boundless daemon sultan, whose name no lips dare speak aloud, and who gnaws hungrily in inconceivable unlighted chambers beyond time and space. Time grows short for us all, and I'm afraid only you and the brave souls who support you have the power to stop it. I'm afraid I can say little more here. You must come to the place of your childhood. I have more information, and a gift to give you. Around the dwarven system of Shardlar, a cold world awaits.
Shardlar.
So it's just here.
And you're here, okay. So yeah.
Yeah, we're here, so.
So no, not really, I suppose, is the short. Well, Victoria says, well, if we got nothing, no other suggestions, I guess we can look at find the meteorological station.
Yeah. Let's do a good old-fashioned look-see.
Okay. She takes the Brunhilde down. Watts punches in the coordinates for the weather station, and the coordinates take you over some windswept snowy plains and to an enormous icy lake surrounded by boreal forests. Along the southern shore of this frozen lake is where what was once a meteorological station once stood, but is now a smoldering ruin. Where multiple buildings sprawled are crumbled heaps of concrete and metal. Some walls still stand haphazardly, and debris and shrapnel litter the ice all around the site.
So, like, it just got blown up? Like, it's smoldering still, you said?
It's not, like, actually smoldering. I was just being descriptive. It's not, like, actual smoking.
I'm picturing that scene in GoldenEye where they find Natalia Romanoff outside the GoldenEye, like, facility. Because the GoldenEye blew up the GoldenEye facility.
I never seen it, so...
You've never seen GoldenEye?
I don't like 007, man. I'm sorry.
What? How do I not know this about you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, whatever. Everybody else knows what I'm talking about. So.
I'm sure they do.
Like, you didn't have a Nintendo 64? Like, what's up?
I did, but I've never been into shooting games, so.
Okay, well, we got some misses going on. sorry, Will.
It's all good.
Anyway, it's like that scene in GoldenEye, pretty much. Don't worry about it, Will.
Yeah, so the structure actually looks like it was destroyed quite some time ago.
Okay.
Just some ruins.
Yeah, some ruins, if you will, on the shore of this frozen lake. Victoria says, should we investigate? Should I take her down?
Should we scan for life signals?
Watt says
paranoid because Watt, I've only been on the
Watt says on it right now. Bloop, 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 bloop. And then
I have some paranoia because I've only hung out with you guys a little bit, but like almost every time we do anything outside of the norm, we get attacked by like dogs or some shit.
So Watt says no signs of any type of life coming anywhere near the ruins. The frozen lake seems to be teeming with all kinds of life, but that's not surprising considering. So.
Mm-hmm. Frozen lake. Cool. Okay, let's go investigate.
Victoria pulls down the Brunhilde. She engages the Aegis. She gets up and she activates Artax. And she locks and loads. And she looks at Watt. She says, you're coming too. We're all doing this.
Mm. Oh, shoot.
Interesting. All interesting. Right. Do we have like winter clothes? Is this?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, you always got a suit for everything. I think we've done, underwater suits? Yeah. I know we've done jungle suits. Let's do some snow suits. Yeah. You guys need the armor.
Suits, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted, you know.
It's snow suits.
Can they look like the Dragon Ball Super clothes that Vegeta and Goku wear to fight Brawly?
I feel like we have had this conversation before.
I don't remember what that looks like.
they're like stylized parkas with Capsule Corp logos.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah, sure. They look like that.
They look like, can we all look like we're in, like, fucking GoldenEye?
I swear to God, dude.
They're in, like, Russia.
I'm going to just say yes, because I don't know what you're talking about.
We're in parkas.
All right.
We're in parkas. Hang on, let me Google GoldenEye cold.
Oh, my God.
There we go. Yeah, the Brunhilde lands probably a good 100 meters outside the facility. You guys find yourself outside the tundra. What do you guys do?
I have another spell I can use, maybe I could commune with nature. I know we saw a bunch of cool trees and everything.
Yeah, sure.
There's a
tree line maybe like a half mile out.
So basically the spell gives me knowledge of the land within 3 miles.
Okay, cool. What does that mean?
So it basically says I instantly gain knowledge of up to 3 facts of my choice. So terrain and bodies of water, prevalent plants, minerals, animals, or peoples, powerful celestials, fays, fiends, elementals, undead, influence from other planes of existence or buildings. Should I wait for us to not be right by a building to do this? So I could maybe try to find a place? I don't know. I don't know how to find Prim's fucking hometown.
We should just go look, man. Let's go dig around in this.
That sounds
rubble.
Like a cool spell, though. So cast it whenever you're feeling like it.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you guys do? Are you guys approaching the ruins?
I believe so. We're on our guard.
Okay. So you guys approach the ruins with this theoretical weather station. And the scene is a grisly sight of jagged metal heaps, shattered concrete, shattered glass, ice, snow. And even amongst all that, frozen, burnt out husks of former humanoid bodies.
Oh, shit. Oh man.
Of course.
Go inspect the bodies.
Dang, there's a dude here.
Oh. Okay. There were dudes here. Wait, all right, what do you guys do?
I want to go inspect the bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So go ahead and give me an investigation check.
Let me get that loot. Let me get that body loot.
Looking 17 for Sebastian.
All right, and you're investigating the bodies?
Yeah.
Okay, 17. The bodies are pretty much burnt to a crisp.
Okay.
Anything that they might have carried on their persons is also destroyed, so there's not much to gather. You rolled a 17. Echo, what were you rolling right now?
I rolled a flat 9, but with my plus 9, that makes it an 18.
Okay, that's pretty good. What are you inspecting, though?
I'm looking for money.
Unfortunately, one credit card that you find is twisted and melted, though. Oh, hell.
Fucking typical. I cast mending on it.
I don't think that'll work.
Why not?
I mean,
this spell repays a single break tear in an object I touch, such as a broken credit card, two halves
of
a
broken cloak,
a torn cloak, or a leaking wineskin. Sorry, did I say credit card? I meant chain link. No, it says it can restore a key. Why can't it restore a credit card? Well, maybe the magnetism in it. I'll help you out here. Well, it's a magnetism.
Okay, fucking, sure.
Yeah. Ah, damn. So I have a credit card, but I'm like, it's not even going to work, and I throw it in the cold. Does it have a name on it?
It's twisted and melted and defaced.
No, I mended it. I did a magic.
I thought you said it didn't work.
No, it probably wouldn't. Like it would work.
Okay, fine. It has a name. Hold on. Damn it. Where's my fucking name list? I have a whole thing. It's gone. Like,
look, it's gonna work, right?
All right, John Johnson is on the fucking card. Anything else?
How much money's on it?
Well, it doesn't work.
Okay.
You just restored the look of it. All right, anyways.
His name was John Johnson.
Yeah, it does say, but if the spell can't restore magic to such an object. Not that magnetism is magic.
I mean, money's its own special kind of magic.
That's true. You know? All right. So with your 18 and your 17, you guys can kind of also discern that the structure wasn't destroyed from the outside. It seems to have been destroyed from the inside out.
I love those. I love these sorts of fucking things. It was destroyed from within.
So somebody blew this place up?
Maybe
sabotage?
Somebody from within, someone either like placed the bomb and left or blew it up while there were still people here, you know? Their bodies were thrown, skewed, their credit cards were torn to shreds, unreparable. It's hard. There's a lot of R's being said. I'm having struggles. Is there any, like, do I find, like, any way to go down and, like, into these ruins?
Yeah, I mean, you guys are already amongst the ruins right now.
Well, like, I'm thinking, like, was there a basement level like this? Because I'm still
all
thinking
right,
about
all right, well, give me investigation checks. You guys are inspecting bodies. Now investigate the scene.
Oh, gotcha. The new investigato. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's only 11 for Sebastian.
I got a 12.
Oof. I rolled a 9.
So
Percy dice still hate me.
We can't find
you guys are searching fairly fruitlessly through the ruins. Echo, you do find, strangely enough, a slightly singed stuffed animal buried beneath like a plate of metal.
It's a scene in Mulan.
Yeah. I swear to God.
It's sad times. It's like fried or whatever, or what?
It's like singed and torn, and it's got like frost damage, but it's still intact. It appears to have been at some point some sort of reptile like creature, almost dinosaur like.
Okay.
I mean, it was a stuffed animal. But, you
know. I'll pick it up and I'll kind of like, if there's snow on it, I'll brush it off. I'll turn to the group and I'll be like, hey, check this out. See, it's like a toy or something.
Yeah. Primina steps up and she says, oh my God, I actually recognize this. This was mine when I was a kid.
I was going to say.
For reals? Here, let me, I cast Mending on that. Does it work?
That works.
Oh, it's a magic.
The tears are mended.
Yeah.
Echo will proudly hold it out to Primina like, well, if it is truly yours, then it let you have it in its original form.
Yeah, she'll take it. And, she looks at it, and she has, like, a deep contemplative look in her eyes, and, she gets a little quiet, but she's just kind of taking it all in.
Echo's happy, but Brian is looking through the eyes of Echo, like, anything yet?
Yes? Did that spark a...
Did you have a memory?
Yeah.
Is this, like, a cutscene in Breath of the Wild?
She looks, a lot of pulls right now. She looks around, and she says, I don't remember a lake. I don't remember a weather station of any kind. This doesn't look entirely familiar to me.
Mm. We should look around.
Another Primina's toy also. That's just Brian talking. Yeah. Okay, I would not say that.
What if it's original Prim's toy?
Perhaps it is illusion. Make an Arcana check to see if the lake is real. I'm scarred. Yeah. I'm scarred, William.
Go ahead, roll.
Okay, here I go.
And I don't blame you. Oh, yeah, we need to talk, Percy, about your programmed illusion stuff.
Yes.
You need to tell me what your programmed illusion is.
Oh, do I have to? I thought it was just the spell, and I could do it once a rest.
Does
that?
Yeah, but I think the programmed illusion. I don't know. We'll have to go over the spell. I think it has to be ahead of time.
Yeah, I was reading the spell, and it's like I have to designate a triggering effect for it to happen. Mm-hmm. But I thought I would just make that happen.
Okay, it doesn't have to be a prepared illusion itself.
I don't think so. Like, okay. When I'm describing it, yes. Like, let's say if there was a crazy fucking thing out on the ice shelf, like, I could be like, I am going to do a illusion of people running across the lake, and the triggering effect will be whatever is the scary thing on the ice, like, coming within 50 feet of it kind of thing.
Sounds good.
And
all
then
right.
It would go until completion, pretty much.
Gotcha. So, what did you roll,
It's a big Pac-Man. I rolled a 15, and I'm just doing a more general, like, can I be more specific also? Like, I want to generally look for magic. You know how, like, in a lot of fantasy, there are signs that magic was used. Or, like, I'm thinking about Full Metal Alchemist when he's alchemy. Yeah. Like, there's stuff like that. I'm doing that. I'm getting a feel for
that. So, what'd you roll? A 15?
A 15. Well, I rolled a 7 here, but with my plus 9.
Jesus.
Yeah, sure. You actually, you get some sort of, like, very, very small sense of arcane signature coming from about 50 paces away, a little bit closer to the frozen shore. Do you head that way?
Yeah, sure.
I could pop my detect magic when we get closer.
I have one of those as well.
Mine's for free, though.
Oh, yeah. Free is good. Yeah, I mean, I can ritual if I want to spend an hour on it. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, when we get closer within 30 feet of it, I'll pop detect magic.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Well, you probably
smell a spell.
You probably don't, because once you're within 30 feet of it, you guys find around the bend, around the other side, like of a broken down wall, a 12 foot wide circular metal seal, kind of flush with the floor, and at its center is a keypad with dwarven number runes. Along with a scanner of some kind, and all around the border of the seal are magic runes. And strangely enough, the seal seems to be unmarked and undamaged by whatever destroyed the building.
Everybody stop. I check for traps, like a good rogue.
Okay. Give me an investigation check, I suppose.
Hell yes. 8 plus 9.
So 17?
You know, yeah.
You don't, that's a good number. You don't detect any traps, but one thing that you do kind of notice is that right next to the seal is this enormous metal tank that's burnt and banged up on all of its sides except for one, which is smooth and undamaged. And it's right next to this seal.
Can where am I at with, like, continuing with checks here? Is my Arcana check going to continue to carry me through the scene? Is my investigation going to also carry me? Like, what do I need to do to continue my investigation here? Like, to discern what this means? Like, what's up with
this
tank?
What the gas tank means?
Yeah. Like, what's up with that? That seems strange.
It does seem strange. That's why I pointed it out.
Yes, I agree. So now what?
I don't know. You tell me.
Can I go touch it? Like, what's up?
Sure, yeah. You can go touch it. You can give me another investigation check if you want to focus on the gas tank.
I think I would want to visually focus on what I could see before I go touch stuff, though. So maybe, like, are the runes familiar to me at all? Like, can I discern what they mean?
Yeah, they're essentially like a shielding rune.
Oh, okay. Mm. Cool. So that's obvious. Okay, then I'll go try to touch the gas tank.
Okay.
Investigation,
you said? Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to take some steps back.
It's an 18 plus 9.
Okay. You take a closer inspection at the whole situation, and it seems fairly obvious to you that this gas tanker was on top of the seal and got pushed and rolled over. And the side that's been unburnt and unbanged up was because it was flush with the ground.
Okay. Makes sense.
Cool. Hey, Prim, the last time we were in a place like this, you said your name into the little thingy, and it let us in.
That's true. Also, I think to get into Manzikor, my eyes were scanned, and that seemed to work.
Yeah. Didn't you say there was a scanner?
I did say there was one. This one doesn't look like an eye scanner. It looks like a hand scanner, or maybe a face scanner. It's hard to tell. Do you guys get close? Do you guys tell Prim to go touch it?
Yeah, I'd say, like, I checked the area. It seems generally safe, right? I did my due diligence, sure. checked for danger. I sense no danger here.
Okay.
Only magic.
Let's do it.
So
only shield magic Prim, and a gas can.
Prim climbs onto the seal, and she bends down, and she places her hand on the scanner, and it lights up, scans her hand, and the seal begins to vibrate.
Ooh.
Before letting air out of its edges, and then begins to rise, and Prim scrambles off of it, and it rises quite high up and reveals an elevator large enough to fit the entire party.
Yeah, yeah.
Elevator about 12 feet in diameter.
Elevator again.
And
up and down is so scary.
It's at this point that the shoreline right behind you guys, the ice crashes open. As an enormous monstrosity lunges out.
Of course.
Of course.
This 20-foot tall, 15-foot wide, and 50-foot long behemoth resembles a walrus in only the vaguest of senses. Two enormous tusks made of ice. Atop its head is a horn of ice. Its mouth is a gaping maw full of yellow razor teeth, 6 inches long each. Its back is covered in thick white fur along with blue spines down its long reptilian-like tail that ends in a thick spiked fin. Its flippers are covered in thick hide and clawed. Everyone roll initiative.
Ooh.
Mm. Ah, big walrus!
Big walrus. That's hilarious.
All right.
Okay.
Combat dice activate. Shit, combat dice, what are you doing?
Fuck. Okay.
I rolled a 18 for initiative.
Ah,
this thing, by the way, is about 40 feet from you. I'd say you guys are about 40 feet from the shoreline.
Sebastian got a 16.
Got a 16. Percy got a 13.
Is that 16, Seb?
Yeah.
And Percy got 13?
Yes.
Echo
got 10.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Prim, Victoria, and Watt are going to go for cover. Artax, though, is going to join the fight. And I'm going to roll his initiative right now.
Love you, Artax. Don't die. Too bad.
He rolled a 12. Okay, and let me get his HP. Ready? Okay. So, it's going to go this monster first. Let me write this order. Monster, then Seb, then Percy, Artax, Echo. Echo, you have a real knack of, like, rolling low in initiative in some of these big fights now that I think about it.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyways, are you guys ready?
It's weird. It's like fate has something to do with it. yeah, I'm ready.
Alrighty.
Ready to last.
Let's get some positions around this seal, because you guys are the seal. There's the wall and the tanker, kind of forming a almost like a 90 degree angle wall on one side of the elevator. That's the seal that is now an elevator. Where are you guys standing in relation to all this?
Oh man, I was just like right there, ready to get on.
Yeah. So more everyone kind of geared towards the front.
Yeah.
Okay.
I imagine so.
All right. Yeah. So this this thing is going to move. What's its land speed? 40 feet. Okay, so it can get right up on you guys. So it's gonna move up, and once it gets within about 10 feet of you guys, it's going to open its maw and breathe out a cold breath of ice.
No.
And 60-foot cone. I think that's gonna hit everybody. Everybody make a Constitution saving throw.
Okay. That's a new one.
Fuck.
Get a plus 3, remember, guys.
Yeah, by the big dice.
It means nothing.
Just rolled double 6.
I rolled a 6 too, dog.
Oh my gosh.
I got a 15 total.
My total 6, 8. Total
I should 10, probably roll Artax, who actually has a pretty good constitution.
What's up, new die?
Oh, why shit, 24. Artax saves.
He's on it.
All right, guys. Okay. I'm sorry. This is
story of
this is 12 d8s worth of cold damage.
Oh my god.
Who saw Waris and he threw up ice on him?
Did I fail on a 15?
Yes.
Oh fuck. Oh Seb.
Damn it.
Where's my reaction magic? Turns out I don't have reaction magic.
You have shield, but nothing to help.
Yeah, it's not gonna, make me con harder. Oh my god.
I
eat some oat bread.
Everyone takes 58 cold damage.
Oh my. Is it like 5'8"? 58, you said?
58. God damn. 58 man. Cold damage. Damn. That's on a recharge, so we'll see if that happens again.
I feel like now is the proper time to bring up that I have 69 HP total now. Because I got 62 plus 7, you know. And now I don't, Will, thanks.
Have y'all ever fought a dragon before?
Nope.
Because this is a reskinned dragon.
I mean, we almost did in Ranger Danger, but you guys, like, we just can't seem to get there.
Yeah. All right, well, next up is Sebastian.
This motherfucker here.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, man.
Wasn't Captain Cold a reskinned dragon in FBATS?
Yes, but those are non-canonical now.
That's fair.
You mean Captain Clown?
Captain Clown, yes. I was thinking of the Flash.
All right. So I'm going to use my bonus action to crank up my arm brace, turn on my haste.
Okay, cool.
And then going to attack with my sword.
Okay, go for it.
So here we go. See what happens.
Okay. I don't want you to waste.
So,
your haste.
What are you doing? Like basically three attacks?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Let's see.
19 on the first one.
Hits.
That's a 15 on the second.
Miss.
And that's a 21 total on the third.
Hit.
Okay. Ooh, that was nice. So the first one does 27 damage.
Are you smiting or anything?
No, not yet.
Okay. 27?
27 in the first hit.
Okay. Yeah, you stab this thing, it starts bleeding.
It's fire damage too, so I don't know if that does anything.
It doesn't have weakness or immunity or any of that stuff.
So in the second one, is it 18 total
damage.
Okay, and then I will pop a divine smite on that one.
Okay, go ahead and give me the damage.
And this is not an undead or anything like that, is it?
No, this is a wild animal.
It's very much alive.
Okay. It is
just want to double check.
Super mega ultra walrus of death.
Yeah.
All right. I like vague walrus better.
if Percy makes a nature check, she can discern what it's called.
I was thinking of scanning it.
And that's an extra 15 damage for that Divine Smite. That was a level 2.
What's the total damage? 18 plus 15?
For so that 20, second one, yeah.
So 32? 32 damage? Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. On the second one.
Alrighty, yeah. You tear into it. Cool. It's, very upset. Next up is Percy.
Can I do that nature check to try to...
Oh, actually, hold up. No, Percy, sorry. Not quite your turn. This thing has legendary actions, and it's going to use one. It's going to... and at the end of your turn, Sebastian, it's going to attack you with its giant fucking tail. So this is going to be against AC.
Good things.
It's probably a miss. Let me see here. It's still a miss. 19 to AC, so that's a miss.
Yep.
Okay, now it's your turn, Percy.
Can I do that nature check to try to ascertain if it is a beast?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
God damn it. It's an 8.
I mean, maybe.
Do you not have, like, a good nature score to buff that?
I have a +4 to my nature.
Doesn't that make it a 12?
No, I rolled a 4.
Oh, no!
Okay. My dice fucking hate me. Okay. I can do a gamble. Might save us.
Risks are used in states of disadvantage, so I guess that's counts as one.
I'm gonna do it. I will try to cast Dominate Beast.
Ooh. Okay.
On this thing. So that's my action. I attempt to beguile a beast that I can see within range. It has to do a wisdom saving throw at advantage because we are hostile towards it.
Oh, okay. Why do you have a ball gag?
No, just kidding. No!
So here we go. Wisdom check. One is a 16.
Fail.
Okay.
Please, God, don't roll higher than that.
I didn't, but it has legendary resistance. Legendary and actions, it's with its legendary resistance, it shakes off your mind domination. And there goes one of its three legendary resistances is now down.
I will use a free action, please, to say, who wants out? Get away from the group.
What does that mean?
If you can get 10 feet, if you can get more than 10 feet away from the group so I don't damage them, I can teleport you out of here.
Ooh.
But also, like, don't leave engaged space. We're all engaged at this point, right?
It's
like,
10 feet away from anybody, so you guys aren't within reach. The tail the tail has a 15 foot reach. Oh, gosh. But that's not going to provoke opportunity attack, I don't think.
Then, how was my action? Should I wild shape? I think I should.
Okay, that's pretty clear that if you wild shape that this isn't going to work for you. You need to be up front, right? Like, if you wild shape right now, you're going to tank, so.
Yes, but I need to, sorry, I'm trying to find my fucking elemental, pages. Give me 2 seconds. I think I'm just gonna. I think I'm gonna Earth Elemental.
You do like that one a lot.
It's, you know, I think it fits. So I will.
It's thick.
It's thick. Yeah, that's the reason why I'm going Earth Elemental, because it's extra thick. So I will slam on, like, my hands on the floor, bring the surrounding icy stone to me and be a concrete bear or just a stone bear.
Okay, sounds good.
And that's it for me, I guess.
Okay, well, it's going to use its legendary action to do a sweeping tail attack. This is going to be everything within 10 feet, which is pretty much all of you guys. Make a dexterity save.
Cool. Please don't roll another 6 when you die. Kiss, kiss. All right.
Fucking shit.
That should do it for me. I think that's a 19.
12. That succeeds. 12 14. Does not. 14 does not. So you guys are going to each take 14 bludgeoning damage, except for Echo. And you're also knocked prone. Let me also roll for Artax. Artax also takes that damage and is knocked prone.
Echo does a really big backflip like Super Mario 64.
Yahoo!
Sure.
And I land back in the
And
stone.
Now it's out of legendary points for the round. But yeah. You guys are knocked prone. Next up is Echo.
Okay.
Sorry, you said that was 17?
Yes.
Points?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to run toward the beast and get 10 feet, more than 10 feet away from any compatriot. But still in the beast's grill. Is that cool?
So you're moving towards the beast. It's within 10 feet of you. Where are you going?
And I just want no one else within 10 feet of me except for the creature. So
all
I can
right,
do
you can kind of move off to the side and around. Sure, yeah.
Okay, I move off to where it's safe, and I use Thunder Step. But before I do that, I kind of do want to survey the area to see if there's someplace cool to hide.
Yeah, I mean, you can hide behind broken down walls, behind the tankard, behind the elevator.
I want to hide. I want to teleport to a place where I'll have the most cover. And I also want to do a bunch of D12s of damage.
You can probably hide behind the wall that's behind the elevator. It will say the wall is about 12 feet tall.
Okay, I'll choose that as my destination point.
Okay.
I have 90 feet of range with this spell, so I'm going to teleport myself to an unoccupied space. Mm-hmm. I can see within range. Immediately after I disappear, a thunderous boom sounds, and each creature within 10 feet of the space that I left must make a constitution saving throw. So go ahead and do that.
It's a 16 plus 6.
I'm pretty sure that passes my spell save.
Yeah, that's a 22, yeah.
So then the next thing that happens is they're going to take 3d10 damage on a failed save or half as much. So I'm going to roll my 3d10 now. Mm-hmm. 1, a 2, 3. Yeah. So that's
5, 15, 17 damage. So you take half of 17.
Okay.
The boom can be heard 300 feet away, if that's relevant. I can take a person, but there wasn't a good candidate. So, yeah, I will go ahead and teleport to that space.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will go ahead and bonus action Blade Song, I guess, for funsies.
Sure.
Since I'm not really... Oh, no, I should bonus action Second Wind is what I should do. I'm going to bonus action Second Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Regain some HP. So I'm going to get 7 HP back, which, oh my God, does that even matter at this point?
Yeah.
So plus 7, and that brings me up to a respectable, somewhat respectable 18 points of life. and I'm going to hunker down, man, and hide. You know, like, I know that's like an action to hide, but I tried to teleport to a space that would give me some cover.
Oh, yeah. You're out of sight, out of mind to this thing now.
Okay, cool. That's good for me. Sorry, everybody.
So that ends your turn. It's Artax's turn. Artax has one prerogative. Destroy. Destroy.
And he's going
to... His hand's going to, like, disappear into his arm, and he's going to let loose 2 cannon blasts at this thing. Don't. So,
I'm picturing Rob from Smash Bros. Rob the Robot.
First one is an 18, which hits, and the second one is a not 18, which does not hit. So it's
going to
do...
Oh, no, wait, that's D10. Our friend. I don't love that.
So he does 15 damage, laser damage.
Meaty.
And yeah, that's his turn. Next up is, oh, it's the monster again.
Oh, weird how that happens.
Big monster sees big bear, decides big food attacks.
Made of rocks though.
Yeah, it's not a smart monster. So it's gonna make a multi attack. The multi attack is going to be a bite, a horn gore, and a tail attack, all 3 in a row.
Very so, fresh.
Here comes
Hold up, Will.
What?
Sorry, was the tail attack that he hit us with, was that bludgeoning or anything like
that? That was bludgeoning, yeah.
Okay, I have resistance to that.
Okay, so now you took half damage. Taken
8 damage?
Something like that, yeah. So here comes the bite. I crit.
Cool. Aw, why? Take it back.
Here comes the horn right after the bite. That's a 27 to hit. And then here comes the tail.
I wonder.
That's a miss. That's a 15, Daisy?
It misses.
Okay, cool. So, damage, here we go. Well, the crit. Let's start with the crit. So,
It's halved, by the way.
What is?
What?
Ah! What the heck?
Siri. Yeah. whatever damage, because I'm resistant to bludgeoning, slashing, and... piercing.
Okay, cool. Well, part of this is cold, but the part of it is piercing. So
yeah, if
we're gonna double
it. Fucking matters.
I'm just gonna roll and double it. Is that okay with you guys? Rather than rolling twice.
That's fine. Doug. Okay. Do what you gotta do.
Roll twice, dude.
Roll twice.
Roll twice.
Yeah, don't be a coward. Do you need me to calculate it for you? I'll calculate it.
No,
for you.
No, it's just gonna take more time, and I don't have like I'm not on a desk here. I got this book in my lap.
If you say it out loud, I'll calculate it for you.
I'm not worried about the calculation.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, I would roll it twice because
5, 8, 8,
I just know
13,
how things...
6, 19, plus 6, plus 6. So that's 32 piercing, cut in half, so 16 piercing, and then 7, 6, and then 13 cold on top of it. And then here comes the horns.
I really like when you say that.
Here come the horns.
Here come the horns. 14. Oh, yeah, I don't roll twice for that. And then 14 slashing damage, or no, piercing damage from the horns.
So 7?
So 7, yeah, cut in half. And that's its turn. It's going to try and recharge the breath again. It does not. next up, Sebastian, you're up.
Hey, by looking at it, it doesn't look like we've done much damage to it, though, huh?
It's not... Like... I'll say this. It's not bloodied.
Okay.
Don't forget about its legendary action, Sebastian.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's going to hurt you.
I know.
Or me.
Or,
yeah, or everybody.
People. Or everybody,
or
yeah.
Everybody.
Damn. Okay. Oh, okay.
Every time we fight big monsters, I almost die immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, they tend to get the drop on you guys a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird how
it's,
that happens.
It's funny how the exact like scenario that I was talking about with the programmed image is the thing that happened. Like I was like, oh yeah, like if know, something huh? like is on the lake or something.
Yeah, when you
like,
were saying it, I was laughing inside.
I know. I fucking hate it. Son of a bitch.
So, okay, I want to do a bonus action, then an action, and then I have an additional action because of the haste, so I'll use that second action as an attack.
All right, you just tell me.
So, when they bonus action, I am, Set for the first time, so I'm going to activate my Hexblade's Curse.
Ooh.
So, and so as kind of explain what happens
yeah.
here,
yeah.
Sebastian's eyes just go solid black.
Whoa.
Like, he's just like all in like a whole another like yeah. world now. He's just okay. like... It's almost like he's possessed. Almost like in Supernatural, how the demons have their eyes just solid black. Mm. That's what it looks like. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and then he just sets
this
curse.
First Supernatural pool? I think
I've never seen Supernatural.
Gonna,
oh, no? But oh, it sounds yeah. cool.
It might be his first Supernatural.
Oh. Yeah,
I think it is his first Supernatural pool. Be. Freeland, you're Probably. Really bringing in a good a good core of audience for us right
Hell
now.
Yeah. So right. I activate my Hexblade Curse, and then I need to use my Lay of Hands on me. So I can heal up some points here because I get
like how you get evilly hurt and then
heal myself.
Okay, yeah, sure.
All right, so.
All right, how much do you heal?
50 points. I'm gonna use all of it. Nice. I need it. So.
Oh yeah.
And then I'm going to attack.
Okay.
All right, so I'll get one attack because I just get the one extra action.
Sure.
Oh yeah, that's going to be a 26 total.
That hits.
All right, so.
Very nice. Kill it.
That'd be neat if you just killed it real quick.
Yeah.
Melt it right now.
Just 24 damage on the hit, and then I'm going to use a smite as well.
Okay.
Smite. Dina smite.
Another 17 damage.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah, it's now been bloodied, and okay. its red blood is like staining the snow.
Fuck yeah.
And you said 17?
Yeah.
All right. Good job. Yeah, this thing is... Now you're its focus. Big bear don't matter no more. That it ends your turn, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So it's going to...
Sick turn.
Turn. It's going to legendary action sweeping again. So everyone make a dexterity save again.
Except for me. You know why? Because I'm really far away. Because I'm like 90 feet away from this bad bee.
17?
21.
Success for the 21, fail for the 17. Oh. Artax is going to roll as well. He fails as well. And so, Percy, you're good, but Artax and Seb are going to take... Let me see. 14 bludgeoning damage and are knocked prone. Percy, it's your turn.
I don't take any damage.
No damage. No damage, and you're not prone.
Oh fuck yeah! Excellent. I will roll up on this bad bee and do two slam attacks on him.
Okay.
Let's see. Why do my dice fucking hate me? 17 for one.
17 misses. Fuck. By the way, I have a cool image, and people who see this and know where it's from will recognize it. But this is what it looks like.
Oh, Jesus shit. Christ.
Yeah, that's what y'all are fighting.
I don't know if I would have been in front of that thing. Damn. Oh,
vague walrus. Shit.
Vague yes. walrus.
Okay. So I beefed. Uh-huh.
Oh, you failed both attacks?
I did. I rolled a like 13 for the first, and then it was 17 for the second.
Yeah, they both fail.
I don't super want to leave Sebastian to take the brunt of this.
I mean, he solos every other boss.
It's true.
But even this one might be much for him. This one I think he's going to need help with.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to... Well, just... My rationale is to burrow so I don't get hit by the thing, but that leaves Sebastian there to be hit by himself. I was trying to pull aggro, but I fucking suck.
There's a robot too.
And the robot, yeah. I'll stay there in its face. Hopefully.
Everybody left.
Menacing.
All right, Echo, you're up.
I'm gonna activate the old standby. Papa Shots. Is there a way to be stealthy about this, Will? Can I like just like pop around the corner and fire a shot off and stay hidden? Do I need to roll or anything?
Once you hit, like, you won't be hidden anymore, but you can get advantage on your first attack because he doesn't know where you are.
That's dope. I'm going to go for that because I can, I'll get my sneak attack on it.
You're going to get it regardless because we're within 5 feet of him.
Oh, you're within, I guess so.
Me and Seb.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll take that advantage on that attack and go for, I'm going to go for a firebolt with the range of 120 feet.
Nice.
Can you get sneak attack on a cantrip? I don't think you can.
I thought you were like,
no, I can't do like a regular, I'm not going to do like a regular shot. I could do,
oh, okay. Then no,
I mean, I could still take advantage on the attack, right?
Yes, yeah. You're just not going to have sneak.
Yeah, well, what is my fucking attack bonus now? Is it still like a plus 9 now?
Everything else is. I think so.
Sorry. Yeah, it is a plus 9 now. So, yeah, that's going to be a 24.
That hits.
Yay. I'm going to do 5th level 2d10.
Nice.
Oh, this is a spell attack?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Here I go. 12. 12 fire damage.
Okay.
Yeah, neat.
Cool. That it?
I did a thing.
look at you.
I mean, that's my action. Yeah. Yeah.
What level spell was that?
That was a cantrip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just because I'm higher level now, so I do the, like when I reach 5th level, I do the 2d10.
Oh, that's what you meant. Okay, I gotcha. All right, is that it for your turn?
Yeah.
Okay, next up is Artax, who is going to continue to fire his cannon, or its cannon, into this thing's face. Oh god, dice everywhere. He natty failed the first attack, and rolled a 4 the second, so now his shit's just bouncing off, like, the ice scales of this monstrosity.
I feel that.
Someone calibrate the robot.
I know. Oh god. And Victoria just calls out, it's been a long time since he's seen combat. let me fish up this die, and it's the monster's turn. And Sebastian, you are its focus. It's going to come in with a multi-attack on you. So it's a bite, a horn gouge, and a tail whip. So the bite comes in, and that is a 20 to AC, which I think fails. The horn comes in, and that is a 23 to AC. Is that it? Okay. Oh, because haste, huh?
Haste, yeah.
Then tail comes in. Oh, God. I'm going to redo that. I'll be back, guys.
Please. Oh, his dice is gone forever.
Runaway die.
Yeah. It's like that scene in the Lego movie where, like, everything off the table is, like, a vortex.
Yeah, that's a fail as well.
You're gone forever.
Yeah. And I can't hear you guys, so you're just going to have to give me a second. So, yeah. All three miss. It's going to try and recharge its breath. It does so with a 5. Next up is Sebastian.
Run away.
Wait. You're prone, aren't you? So I have advantage on all those attacks.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, no.
So bite.
Oh, no.
Is a miss. Horn is... God... I've rolled like 3 2s. This is terrible.
Beautiful.
Keep doing
great,
it.
Great, man.
And here comes the tail.
Do it more. More 2s.
12 plus 11 is 23. That's a miss.
Yeah.
Dang it. Oh, my gosh.
Good things.
Okay, with that being said, now Sebastian is your turn.
Now, let me 3 swipes here. And now, like, I want to kind of flavor it, too. Now he has, you know, he's part Hexblade that, like, when he attacks and he uses his sword, he does more, like, fancy stuff with the sword, like, twirls it around, whereas before he has more calculated stuff.
But now he's wake up. Do wake up Flaming Shoryu.
What? What's that?
Street Fighter.
It's a very deep Street Fighter, technical Street Fighter.
Yeah, that's what he does. Sure, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that.
He does that.
Wake up attack is broken.
All right, so what do you do, Sebastian? You have
three,
to get
three
up.
Three attacks.
First. You get up.
Okay,
you
stand
attack.
Up. Yep, stand up. And then 3 attacks. Let's see what we've got here. First one's going to be a 20 total.
It hits.
Okay. So I rolled a 19, and with the curse, that's considered a crit.
Ooh,
sure.
Nice.
Okay. Melt him.
Okay.
Got the triple hit, dude.
And then
he's on fire.
This third one is a 20 total.
All
so
three
I get
hit.
All
Holy
three
shit.
Hits. One's a crit.
Dear God, man.
Let me go ahead and do the crit first.
Mm-hmm. Seb is going to solo this dragon. Oh, God.
By the way, this is an adult dragon that I'm that I've reskinned. It's an adult white dragon.
Yeah.
Challenge rating 13.
I had a fail state boss fight in a game with an adult red, and it was for sure like these two. I only had two players. Like, you cannot beat this.
An adult red is way stronger than an adult white, though, for sure.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, the AC, the damage output is like extreme.
Yeah, I think challenge rating.
It did strip its movement.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I stripped this thing's flight, so.
So real quick question. For my savage attack, I get the extra weapon die. Is that just the D8, or is that the D6?
It's just the D8. It's right? A weapon die, yeah.
Okay. An extra 3.
Just tell me all the damage. That's a lot of die you got to roll over there.
Gotta write it down. Okay. So, just for the weapon attack on the crit is 41 damage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do a divine smite on this guy, too.
There's a lot of life in the lake.
I did. You got. Yeah. That's what happens when you don't utilize the information I give you.
What am I supposed to do? Fucking blow up the lake?
Open fire on the lake.
I guess we could have opened fire on the lake. Like, hey, how about we shoot the fuck out of this lake randomly?
True.
So I doubled up on the Divine Smite. Use the level 2. Uh-huh. That's an extra 35. So that's 76 total for that attack.
Okay. Is that everything, or is that just the one
attack?
That's
just the crit.
I think that's just the worst. Yeah.
Go ahead and roll the rest.
Okay.
Capital P-A-L.
The monster.
Paladins.
Let's see here. 22.
I was thinking
weapon.
About casting a grease spell on the
and then we'll do another divine smite
just for laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Just for kicks
to see it fall over.
It's 29 for that attack.
Okay, at this point you've killed it, so
okay.
Hey.
So the way I picture this I is deep within his infernal frenzy, Sebastian feels a berserker's rage overtake him.
Yes.
And his flame saber flares up way higher and brighter than you guys have ever seen it before. And it becomes entangled with necrotic energies.
Oof.
As he brings this down over his head and essentially eviscerates and melts this thing's fucking face off.
Beautiful. Yes. Love it.
And when Sebastian is done, this thing has been split in twain and its gaping, burnt, cauterized body is just smoking. And congratulations, you guys won. Also, that thing's soul's in hell now.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, to send that soul to hell, do I have to do anything special? Like,
no.
Like any, it just it straight
it
goes.
It's an auto send, bro.
It's super there, yeah.
Dope. Hell yeah. That's a good first one to send to hell right there.
Yeah, yes, that is. That's a very...
Ramazan's like, oh, what the fuck?
Whoa, shit. What did I do?
I chose right.
Send it back.
It shows up just split in half. He's like, oh, God.
Eli Ball's still outside outside the palace, just still chilling.
Oh,
he's like having to deal with this thing.
All right.
Okay.
So that happened.
It would be dope. Freeland, if you're, like, when you do your Hexblade and everything like that, mm-hmm. your fire sword should turn to black fire.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. I like that flavor.
I think that would be hot as fuck.
That's what we're going to do.
Black, all right. Black and fire.
Yes. Some Amaterasu.
So you guys are standing in front of the elevator. You've slayed the lake beast. Hmm.
Are we cool with that one? I mean, that thing went to hell, right?
Sure.
That's how that works?
Like, I'll turn back. I think that's okay. He was an asshole. I tried to talk to him and he was like, no. You die.
It's true. That is so, what happened.
He's more just like an animal defending its territory, yes?
Yeah.
That one, I kind
of... I think this was more of an animal attacking you guys for food, thinking you guys were food.
Right. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, sir, survival of the fittest.
Same principle.
Victoria just says, let's just get away from the lake. And she gestures at the elevator.
Yeah, we should definitely get in there.
That's fine.
And all right, so you guys climb in the elevator. There,
I fixed the gas can with mending.
Jesus Christ!
You mean the giant gas tankard?
I can do that. Right?
It's like, I don't think you can. No,
I fix a little bit of it.
Sure. You guys get in the elevator, which has a really stark white aesthetic, almost like the walls and floors are made out of like this plastic or acrylic. There is a button panel with only two buttons, an up and a down. I take it you guys press down?
We're going down. We're going down.
All right.
That'd be crazy if we pressed up, though, huh, guys?
You guys, nuts. You guys press Willy down.
Elevator Willy Wonka.
The door closes, and the elevator begins to sink into the ground. And that is where we're ending today's session of SuperQuest.
Oh, I nailed it. Got it.
If you guys like what we do here, if you enjoy this show, please support us by commenting below, putting in an iTunes review, telling your friends, spreading the word, all that jazz. Join Patreon if you want more of our content. You guys want to add anything to that?
No, get in the Discord. Check out the SuperQuest Saga wiki.
Oh, yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of hard work went into that, and Absolutely. It's really awesome.
It's awesome.
Okay.
For sure.
Links below. All the links are below.
All the links are always below. Yeah. So, yeah. With that being said, we'll call it a game.
Yeah. Good job, Bass.
Talk to you guys later.
Yeah, Bass.
Bye.